You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost World, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hey there, everybody. My name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And welcome to episode 110 of Transmissions from Atlantis. And we realize it's been a really long time since our last podcast. We apologize for that, but...
We've been busy.
We've been a little bit busy making this little thing called Seekers of the Lost World. You might have heard of it. We've talked about it a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Every single podcast for the last, five podcasts?
Yep, probably. Oh, and guess what, folks? Principal photography is done.
It's Finn.
Which means now comes all the tedious work of post-production.
Well, it's not necessarily tedious. It's more like...
Time-consuming. All-encompassing. Prisoners in our own office.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what is that thing in the sky? It's so bright!
It's called a sun deer. So yes, we are looking forward to putting together our little series of episodes, but at the same time, it's going to be a long, arduous process, and... That part we're kind of intimidated a little bit by, but it'll be interesting.
And it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be really cool, I think, once we start seeing it come together.
Yep. And if you want to find out more about our Seekers of the Lost World show, feel free to check us out on our Facebook page, Seekers of the Lost World, as well as seekersofthelostworlds.tv. That's our website. And you can also follow us on Twitter at SeekersOTLW. We've got a jam-packed show for you this week. Of course, we're going to do our rapid-fire segment, which seemed to be a popular thing with all you guys last time around.
And just word of warning, there will probably be spoilers during the rapid-fire that we're not going to announce beforehand. So,
well, we'll do a spoiler warning, but... Other than that, you know, you're
on... It's a rapid fire. They don't get no warning.
You're on your own, so you've been warned. Our main topic this week is going to be Voltron, the Legendary Defender.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's not the musics! That's not the musics.
No, it's not. It's the musics from the old show.
They don't have it in this one.
They do not, but we'll get to that.
And also, we do have some holdovers from Timegate, which was, man, what is it, like a month ago now?
Yes.
Where we have our interview with Paul McGann, as well as our interview with Nicholas Briggs. And that is our interview. We weren't part of some, like, group of media people interviewing him. It was a one-on-one interview with both. And they aren't very long, but at the same time, they are informative. You know, some really interesting stuff from the Eighth Doctor and the Voice of the Daleks, so... hopefully you'll find that interesting, and plus a whole bunch of other new Doctor Who stuff that has happened since our last podcast. So, I guess we'll just get going, right?
Yep.
Let's hit the rapid fire!
Fire!
Alright, so it's time for rapid fire. You ready, Rita?
Yep.
Spoilers.
And away we go! BET print celebration.
Sorry, Madonna, your tribute just didn't cut it.
BET kicked total ass with their celebration. It was a credit to the artist. Awesome job.
Hello, you had Sheila E. and Maite on the stage together.
Yes.
Enough said.
Excellent. X-Men Apocalypse.
We never got around to see it, so I ain't got no opinion on it.
We've heard it's good. We've heard it's good, but we didn't care. So, moving on.
Finding Dory. Don't make me forget. I don't want to forget.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
It was awesome, but it was also sad, and it made you feel feels. Moving on.
Not moving on yet, because I haven't had my comment yet. You just made your comments.
I thought your singing was
my singing was not just a comment. I thought it was good, not as good as Finding Nemo. Moving on. Independence Day Resurgence.
I liked it. I think it's one of those films people are either going to love it or they're going to hate it. Not as good as the first one. Very good popcorn flick, and it's setting up for a continued franchise that I think is going to do great.
I thought it was a very credible sequel. I know that it's gotten a lot of bad press, a lot of bad reviews, but I personally thought it was a lot of fun. It was what it was. It was a popcorn flick.
It was predictable.
And it was a little bit predictable, but at the same time, it did further the mythology, and I enjoyed it. Next up, Game of Thrones, The Battle of the Bastards.
Spoilers.
Ramsay Bolton, eaten by his own dogs, win.
Yes.
Ramsay Bolton constantly calling Jon Snow bastard. I'm like, really? You hypocrite, because you're a bastard yourself, a-hole.
It was the best Game of Thrones episode of the season. It was one of the most epic battle scenes in Game of Thrones that I think we've seen in the history of the series. And it had a very, very satisfying conclusion.
Yes, it did. I felt very, very satisfied.
Game of Thrones, The Winds of Winter.
Spoilers.
Okay, spoiler warning.
Too late.
Jon Snow, yeah! Arya, kicked ass! Daenerys, finally! Where are we moving on? Oh, Cersei. Well, that was predictable.
You done?
Sure.
Okay, my turn. So, remember 5 minutes ago when I just said that was the best episode of the season?
Yeah.
This was the best episode of the season!
How about the series?
Maybe the series, because not only did we finally get confirmation that Jon Snow is not a bastard, he is the daughter, or the daughter. He is the son. Well, it's his long hair. The long hair throws me off. He was the son of Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar Targaryen.
But here's a question,
no,
though.
I'm talking.
I don't think they were married, though, right?
No.
So technically, he's still a bastard?
That could be true. No, I thought he married her.
Did he?
I don't know. Anyway, he is a Stark. He is the rightful heir to Winterfell.
And the Iron Throne.
And I think there may be something brewing between him and Dany. And speaking of Dany, she's crossing the Narrow Sea finally.
Right?
Finally.
Right?
And Arya. Oh my god.
She can cook.
Alright, we've spent too much time on this one. Star Trek kills fan films.
Thanks, NXR. You suck.
Yep, and that's really what this boils down to, isn't it? It's one particular fan film decided to overreach and break all the rules of fan films that so many other fan films have followed for so many years, and it's ruined it for everybody. So now Star Trek Continues is screwed, Farragut is screwed, anything that had any of the classic series actors in it is gone because of one person that decided to be an a-hole.
And you can't blame the production company for it. They're just trying to protect their property. And you had this one guy who had to ruin it for everybody. Because before this guy, Paramount didn't care that these Star Trek fan films were being made.
Right.
They actually encouraged it. But this guy overreached and now everybody's screwed.
Yep.
Thanks for nothing,
Axanar. Next up, TimeGate 2016. Obviously, our review is about a month late, but hopefully you guys got a chance to check out our documentary that we made on TimeGate.
We got to meet Nicholas Briggs. We got to meet Paul McGann. And it was an amazing con. It was our first time at the new hotel.
It was a lot of fun. It was a great TimeGate, as always.
And we got the crud.
And we did get the con crud, which is also part of the reason why we're taking forever to do this.
Because for me, it lasted 3 weeks.
Yes. And that does it for Rapid Fire. Fire!
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
Ultron, this is your category, baby. So I'm going to let you go.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh, now you're just pushing me the fuck out the way. Thank you.
The mic is mine. Anybody who really, really knows me knows that I am a 100% been obsessed with Voltron since I was a little kid. And that obsession has never gone away, never slowed down. And now with the new series released by Netflix, my Voltron obsession has reached new levels because I love, love, love the new show.
Am I allowed to speak now?
Go ahead.
Okay.
No, wait. No, I'm just kidding.
I have to agree. The new show was fantastic. And while I will always have a special place in my heart for the original series, the Lion series, this one was not only a credible reboot, but there was a few areas where I thought it actually did better than the original series.
I agree with you. For example, in the original series, the story almost always took place on Eris. It very rarely went off-world. And while it was on Eris, every single episode was the Rogue Beast of the Week. Or the episode, whatever. And no offense, but that does get boring after a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to see some changes. With this new show, 11 episodes, we only saw two Rogue Beasts the entire series.
Yep.
It had an ongoing storyline where, you know, you had, like, with smaller story arcs that would span sometimes 2 to 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really enjoyed how they spaced out the stories.
Yep. And speaking of space, I like that Voltron was the defender of the universe and not the defender of Eris.
Yeah, exactly. Even back then, it was called Voltron Defender of the Universe, but mm-hmm. if it never left Eris, it wasn't really defending the universe.
Correct. And so I really enjoyed that Voltron went out there and tried to liberate, you know, worlds and defeat Zarkon all over the galaxy, not just on one single planet.
Not to mention, there are more levels to Zarkon.
Yes.
That never existed in the original series. In the original series, he was just Zarkon, who wanted to rule everything, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, he was basically your typical, you know, 1980s bad guy, you know, where there's no real rhyme or reason why he's a bad guy. He's just a bad guy, and he's the one person that everybody's going to go against. He was Skeletor. He was, you know, Cobra Commander. He was just a bad guy.
Spoilers.
But in this case, he might not have always been the bad guy and then became the bad guy. At least that is the sense that I got based on...
That's what it alluded to.
Yeah.
Towards the end, where when we discover that Zarkon was the original paladin of the Black Lion, which was fantastic and an interesting, unexpected twist.
Exactly. And there's these cool little things. My favorite character, just like back then and now, is always going to be Keith. I've always loved his character.
Mm-hmm.
And
You were upset, though, that Keith wasn't the Black Lion.
I was, because he's always been the pilot of the Black Lion. But just like the original series, I don't think Shiro's going to be around for much longer. I think he's got a lot of mental and emotional baggage that he's going to have to eventually deal with. Which he kind of dealt with that in the original series, too.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent.
Well, as Sven, right?
Yeah, as Sven.
Yep.
He was never really the leader of the group back then. That always fell to Keith. And I think in this series, there's instead of starting out Keith as a leader role, I think he's going to earn it and move into that role eventually.
Right.
But just like in the original series, he is not the goofy one in the group.
Right.
He's not the womanizer of the group.
Right.
He's always the one who's usually calm and collected, but when in battle, he always tends to be a bit fierce.
Yep.
And that's why I've always loved that character, because he's the one who kind of commands and demands respect without even trying.
Yep. So, one of my favorite twists with the Lion Force...
Spoilers.
...was Pidge, where Pidge, in the original series, Pidge always had a feminine look about him, right?
I mean, even back then, Pidge always wore, like, this funky headband thingy.
So, it's no surprise that in this particular series, Pidge is not necessarily a boy. Pidge is a girl.
And I actually have no issues
with
that.
I am completely okay with it. I love it, actually. Not, I think it's a great choice.
For a couple reasons. Like you said, Pidge has always been feminine in our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of had that vibe with Pidge anyway. And then on top of that, Pidge is kind of the brains of the team.
Yep.
And I like it that the brains of the team is a girl.
Yeah.
Because girls can be strong, girls can be smart. And I'm glad that they made Pidge's character a girl.
Now, some decisions that they made that I didn't like. And that includes Coran. I am not happy with what they did with Coran's character, because Coran in the original series was a very stoic, very he was protective of the princess.
He was a fatherly figure.
But he was a very fatherly figure, right. And this Coran, they made him to be kind of buffoonish.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. I don't like his character. Even though his character started to become a little bit more on the serious side, on the latter half mm-hmm. of the series. But in the beginning, he was just so goofy. He was comic relief.
Yeah.
And Coran is not comic relief. That's what you have Hunk, Lance, and Pidge for.
Exactly. And that's the one thing that really bothered me was we had the comic relief. We didn't really need Coran to give us comic relief. Hunk is enough comic relief in his own right to take care of anything that you need to be funny.
Exactly. So Coran, no, I didn't like the way he was written. But that this whole not liking stuff leads into the next thing I didn't like. I thought that it was going to be rough getting to know this new Allura, because mm-hmm. Allura wasn't blue-eyed, she wasn't blonde. The original Allura looked human. This Allura looks more like an elf from World of Warcraft.
Right.
Right?
And we're not saying that Allura has to be blonde hair, blue-eyed, but she was just very different looking.
Yeah, it was just a very stark difference from what she looked originally, so that took a little bit of getting used to. But not much. And
especially when all the other characters pretty much look the same. I mean, Keith even still has the mullet, for crying out loud.
Exactly. So. And they even make fun of it in the show.
Exactly.
But the thing is that after a while, when you get accustomed to the fact that Allura is not human, then her look and appearance makes sense.
Right.
But then when you get to that one episode where all of a sudden they need to find a way to get aboard this ship, and she's like, oh, I can shapeshift. I'm like, that just came completely out of nowhere and made zero sense.
Yep.
It's like, oh, great. How are we going to get these people on the ship? Oh, let's just make Allura a shapeshifter.
Right.
Not only did that just not seem, it seems so out of place in the story, but on top of that, when she shapeshifted, she had this freakish strength that also made no sense, that came out of nowhere. I'm like, what?
And by the way, we could have used that maybe two episodes ago, right?
Right? But overall, I still loved the flow of the overall story arc, plus mm-hmm. the smaller story arcs. I have to give credit to the writers, because yes. this show was written so well.
Yes. And it's a very difficult assignment to take something that is loved by so many people for, what, the last 30 years?
Yeah.
And make it new, make it fresh, and make it appeal to people of, you know, young millennials and whatnot of today.
Yeah. Now, if you are a Voltron fan hoping that this new series is going to be a carbon copy of the original, no.
And you're going to be disappointed, because it's not.
And it shouldn't be, because the original show is outdated.
Right. As much as we love it, and as much as we enjoy watching the original Voltron series, it could not play in today's, climate, because it's just a different world now.
Yeah, exactly. But they didn't give so many nods mm-hmm. to the original series. You're not going to hear the music, but their intro is still pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you're going to hear all of these little nods hidden throughout the stories, all these little Easter eggs that they included.
Yep, I remember when they first formed Voltron, and you were disappointed that they didn't do Dinotherms Connected and all that other stuff.
But then when they launched a castle,
they did Dinotherms Connected. They did it. Exactly, right. And I was disappointed that they didn't form Blazing Sword in the first couple episodes, and then finally they form the sword.
They didn't call it the Blazing Sword, but it was still a lit up sword.
Yeah. So there are still the little nods here or there that are cool. And you know what? They're from Galaxy Garrison, which is the way it should be.
Yes. Which is funny, because in the original Go Lion episode, Galaxy Garrison
doesn't exist.
Yeah, it didn't exist.
Right.
So I was really enjoying this new show, because it's a fresh take on Voltron,
mm-hmm.
staying true to the original, but at the same time being an original new show. And we binge-watched it in about a day and a half, and I'm already just on pins and needles waiting for the next series to see how the story continues.
And because it left on a pretty good cliffhanger, too.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on that. I thought this was not only a very credible reimagining of Voltron, and let's face it, they've tried to reboot Voltron a couple times, right? And with, like, Voltron Force and what was the other one?
Well, they had the ones back in, what, the 90s?
Yeah.
And, where it was the computer-animated ones that were absolutely
terrible.
Atrocious. They were
terrible.
Horrible. I could not, as much of a Voltron fan as I am, I could not bring myself to watch those. It made me ill.
And then you had the one in the early 2000s where they had the Voltron Lion Force, but they also had, like, that little kid troop that was with them that were so freaking annoying.
I actually did not mind it.
I liked watching it.
I wasn't a huge fan of the animation, and the kids did get on my nerves a little
they're
bit.
They're awful. They're all dumb.
What they were trying to do with that one is do a continuation from the original series, and forgetting the really bad 90s show.
Yeah.
But again, it lasted for, like, maybe a season and a half, and then it got canceled because the ratings just weren't there.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But I'm hoping with this new Netflix series that Voltron has had a rebirth.
Well, it's gotten a lot of good publicity, and it seems like most of the people that have watched it have enjoyed it. So hopefully it will get a season two, and we'll get a long run of the new Voltron the Legendary Defender. Did you want to rate it 1 to 10?
10.
Why would I expect anything else?
Because it's Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Actually, it's Voltron Legendary.
Whatever.
Defender.
It's 10. I'm giving it a 10.
I'll give it a 10, too, because I thought it was fantastic. So that basically does it for Voltron. Let's move on to
Doctor Who. Ooh-wee-oo. Ooh.
Okay. Auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one. Go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge. Who takes the Pandora Cup? Takes the universe. But bad news, everyone. Cause guess who? Ha. Listen, you lot you're all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not bad. Can you do another? Maybe something less wordy.
He's like fire and ice and rage. He's like the night and the storm in the heart of the sun. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time and can see the turn of the universe, and he's wonderful.
Wow, a little dark. Anything a little lighter?
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Maybe. Got something a little fresher?
I am not a good man, and I'm not a bad man. I am not a hero, and I'm definitely not a president. And, no, I'm not an officer. Do you know what I am? I am an idiot with a box and a screwdriver.
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO Network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next!
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
And we're off! Fingers on buzzers! Are you feeling lucky? Are you ready to play the game? Who's going to be quickest? Who's going to be luckiest?
This is not a game!
No, it's not a game, sweetheart, and I mean that most sincerely.
Why are you doing this?
Yes, I'd quite like to know that, too. You set this up, why?
Because it's not a game, Kate! This is a scale model of war! Every war ever fought right there in front of you! Because it's always the same. When you fire that first shot, no matter how right you feel, you have no idea who's going to die! You don't know whose children are going to scream and burn! How many hearts will be broken! How many lives shattered? How much blood will spill until everybody does what they were always going to have to do from the very beginning? Sit down and talk! Listen to me, listen. I just want you to think. Do you know what thinking is? It's just a fancy word for changing your mind.
I will not change my mind.
Then you will die stupid. Alternatively, you could step away from that box. You could walk right out of that door and you could stand your revolution down.
No. I'm not stopping this, Doctor. I started it. I will not stop it. You think they'll let me go after what I've done?
You're all the same, you screaming kids. You know that? Look at me. I'm unforgivable. Well, here's the unforeseeable. I forgive you after all you've done. I forgive you.
You don't understand. You will never understand.
I don't understand. Are you kidding me? Of course I understand. I mean, you call this a war, this funny little thing? This is not a war. I fought in a bigger war than you will ever know. I did worse things than you could ever imagine. And when I close my eyes, I hear more screams than anyone could ever be able to count. And you know what you do with all that pain? Shall I tell you where you put it? You hold it tight till it burns your hand. And you say this: no one else will ever have to live like this. No one else will ever have to feel this pain. Not on my watch.
Alright folks, you guys know that music, and obviously there was a little bit of difference in our intro. You might have noticed Nicholas Briggs giving us a nice little bumper there.
Yes!
Thank you to Nick Briggs for that. And speaking of Nick Briggs and Paul McGann, the Eighth Doctor, we had opportunities to interview both during Timegate. And here is Paul McGann's interview.
Right, so I just wanted to have a couple quick thoughts on what you think of Timegate.
How about a ball? It's the last Timegate as well, isn't it?
Well, not quite. But it's regenerating.
It's going to regenerate.
To Wholanta.
Wholanta. Who came up with the name? Is it you? No.
Alan.
Was it Alan? Done by committee.
Now, I have to say,
this has been a really nice one.
I'm so glad that you had a really good time. Now, we love your Big Finish audios. We fell in love with you as Eighth Doctor because of Big Finish audio. Was that a fantastic experience for you?
That's where he lives, though. I mean, I've shot two shortish episodes visually of the Doctor. But for the most part, 12 years, he's lived on audio. That's his home. That's where he lives.
Yes.
And I've kind of grown into it. And I love it.
And we love it too. I mean, it's
beautiful
because
it's like also they're like alternative histories now, you know.
And then you got a new costume too.
Yeah. Costume from radio, yeah. Costume from audio. Yeah. Yeah. It's been thrilling.
What did you think of getting all the characters from the audio into the short? You know, when you named off all the names.
Well, that was Stephen Moffat's choice. And it was great. It was a lovely moment because it kind of sealed that relationship between Big Finish and Cardiff. It's a stamp of approval. It was really exciting.
And
I know everybody loved it, you know, because shortly after we came over to Chicago. We did one the week later we were in Chicago. And the fan reaction was instantaneous. And it was, people were thrilled, you know. And in a way it was kind of, Nick and Jason from Big Finish wouldn't say that, but I'll say it for him. You know, it was a reward, I think, for their kind of years of loyalty and enthusiasm, I think. And it meant a great deal.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
All right, thank you to the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann, for his few minutes that he was able to spare with us. And how about we play the interview with Nicholas Briggs, the voice of the Daleks.
All right, so this is your first time gate?
This is my first time gate, yes. And I'm in.
The last time.
Is it the last ever time gate?
Yes, because starting next year, it's going to be rebranded as Oolanta.
Oolanta. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So, the gate bit's gone.
So what's been your experience here at Tumble?
Lots of friendly people. Not least Scott here, who's been looking after me. He's just out of shot over there, but for legal reasons can't be shown. really friendly crowd. Great food. Lots of interesting questions. I've enjoyed it. Nice room. You know, what can I say? Good flight. Yeah, great. Oh, well, nice weather. That's important for English people. It's just really warm. We don't have to put a jacket on. That's great. Big Finish Productions started doing Doctor Who. Well, we started making it back in 1998, but it's been releasing since 1999, licensed by the BBC to do Doctor Who audio drama. And I wrote, directed, sound designed and composed the music for the first one, Sirens of Time. And then about 7 years after that, I became the executive producer. So this is my 10th year as executive producer. We're doing all sorts of exciting things that have just come out this year. David Tennant as the 10th Doctor with Catherine Tate as Donna Noble, and also the War Doctor, John Hurt. It's been incredible for me because I'm a lifelong fan of Doctor Who, and I'm just working on things that I really, really love. So, it's a journey that I don't anticipate it ever ending, and I'm quite pleased about that.
All right. Thank you, Nick Briggs. I love Nick Briggs. He was awesome. What did you think of Nicholas Briggs?
I found him to be very down to earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we were at
both
the...
Both of them were. Paul was too. Yeah.
When we were at the guest VIP reception, I mean, they actually came to us and introduced themselves. And
it was so funny because Nick Briggs walks up and he says, "Hi, I'm Nicholas Briggs." And we were like, yes, we know who you are.
It was funny. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yep. And so he was just a very, very nice guy. And Paul was great, too. Paul looked really tired, though.
Yeah, a little tired.
Yeah.
We were also able to speak to Jason, who is the head of the Big Finish Audio, which was also good. He gave us an interview that we hope we can play maybe on the next episode.
Yep. And in that next episode, we're also going to review a couple of the Big Finish audios that we were able to listen on the way to Atlanta. So...
Yeah.
Including the War Doctor series, which was fantastic.
Oh, yes. And we got to listen to the 10th Doctor ones, which were also fantastic.
Yeah, they were great. That was basically like watching Doctor Who, 10th Doctor, David Tennant era, in your ears.
Yes, it was awesome.
I mean, it's so amazing how quickly they just snapped right back into it. All right, so there has been some new Doctor Who news that have popped up here and there. The first and foremost is filming has finally begun. Yay!
We're still not getting these episodes till next year.
Well, we're getting one at Christmas.
Well, Christmas, but still, the Series 10 won't be till next year. Boo!
But it's supposed to be early next year, like in spring, so...
But Sherlock is also filming.
Yes, Sherlock is filming too, but nobody cares about Sherlock at this point. It's been, what, 10 years since Sherlock or something? It felt that way, crying out loud. No, actually, I'm really happy that Sherlock's coming back, but this is a Doctor Who segment, so don't get us diverted.
I'm not diverting.
You're diverting.
You're diverting now. Get going. Come on.
So anyway, so filming has begun. Apparently, there is a new creepy monster that's out there that photos from the set have been floating around, so that should be interesting. Also, there is a new companion that's joining Pearl Mackie, who you guys already know about is the new companion, but Matt Lucas, the... dopey-looking guy from
the Husbands of River Song.
Apparently, he's going to be a regular for Series 10.
Interesting.
Which, I'm not sure why, because wasn't he, like, turned into a robot or something by the end of Husbands of River Song?
Actually, yeah.
So, I'm not sure what that's all about, but apparently, yeah, it's going to be an interesting addition to the Team TARDIS. One other interesting note that's popped out is apparently Peter Capaldi has filmed something concerning Clara in this new season. Speaking at a recent Awesome Con panel, he said, "I'm not sure how successfully Clara will be able to wipe his mind. In fact, I just did a, oh, I was about to tell you something I can't tell you."
Huh. Maybe he did one of those small little vignettes?
No, because... if that was just the case, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But, you know, if he says that he did something in the show that has something to do with Clara, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something there.
No, if she comes back again in any capacity...
I don't want to see her again,
She's done.
Period. I don't want to see her again. Other news that has popped out from Doctor Who is apparently this final season of Stephen Moffat's is going to be filled with mostly one-parters.
Yay!
I like two-part episodes, but not a full season of them.
Yeah, that's the only thing I didn't... I mean, last season was probably Peter Capaldi's best season.
Well, not probably. It was his
best. It was his best.
Yes.
But I think it was filled with way too many two-parters.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole series was two-parters.
Yeah. And, you know, towards the end, it started to wane a little bit that every single thing was two... Well, if you think about it, even going back... to the end of the last season, it was a two-parter.
Yeah.
So you had, like, a string of two-parters, except, you know, not counting the Christmas episode, that was just one after another.
That was just too much. I mean, two-parters should be the exception. You know, you throw that at the fans maybe a couple times during the series, once in a blue moon, but it shouldn't be the entire series should be two-parters.
Yep. And, of course, there's plenty of rumors out there that some of the old monsters Moffat had are going to be coming back. Since this is his last season, maybe Captain Jack might come back because it is his last season and Moffat did create Captain Jack.
Hopefully. That'd be cool if he did.
And
well, actually didn't... did he create Captain Jack?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's right. Because yes. That was in The Empty Child.
Yep.
Which was written by
Stephen Moffat. Yep. And now Russell T. took the Captain Jack character and ran with it, but it was really Moffat's character.
And literally ran with it because it was Russell T. who made Torchwood.
Yes, pretty much. But it's going to be interesting to see how Moffat plays his last season. Is it going to be kind of like a swan song where you just see all the old monsters that he's written start popping up? I don't know if I'd like that. I'd want it to be true Doctor Who and new Doctor Who, not just a rehash of, hey, look at everything I've done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think I would like to see a nice balance of both.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But it should be interesting. Again, the new season of Doctor Who should be coming in the spring, which usually for Brit fans, that's an indication that it's either in March or April. So it feels like it's going to be a long wait, and it is going to be a long wait, but let's face it, we're not Sherlock fans. Right. Well, we are Sherlock fans, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We don't have to wait like 3 years between episodes and only get like 3 episodes worth. Right?
Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah, me too.
But I still love the show. And yep. I'll still waiting to watch it and all that jazz. Okay, moving on.
Well, that's not moving on. That's pretty much it.
Is it?
Yep.
We're done. Woohoo!
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this particular episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We want to thank you for joining us and coming back, because it's been such a long time since we did our last podcast, our last true podcast, because we did do the Prince tribute podcast, but that wasn't really what we do, you know, in regards to sci-fi and Doctor Who.
That was a special circumstance.
It was a special circumstance and a special episode, so we're back to doing what we do. And hopefully we'll be able to do it more regularly now that we've finished principal photography, although post-production is going to be an all-consuming, all basically taking all of our time for the next month or two. So we may still have to bear through another couple months of spotty podcasting. But we're getting there, and we thank you for your patience, and we thank you for coming back and listening to us. Next time... Let's see, what are we going to be talking about next time? Because I'm sure there's going to be plenty more summer movies that are coming out. The BFG is one that looks interesting. What else is coming out? I don't know. The Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them?
That's not till November.
Oh, that's not till November. No, we'll probably have a podcast before November. Maybe. I don't know. The way it's going lately, who knows? But hopefully we will.
But there are actually quite a few movies coming out this summer that we will probably be reviewing, and maybe we will do a summer flick episode.
Yep. And, well, at that point, we'll probably be doing a summer flick review.
Summer flick review,
because yes. Most of them will be over with by then. Well, what am I thinking? Of course, we're going to be doing our Dragon Con preview episode next episode, because that's our last episode before Dragon Con.
Is it? Are you sure there's not going to be another one before then? I mean, we're only at the end of June.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll at least start our Dragon Con coverage in the next episode, and it might be all of our Dragon Con coverage in the next episode. We'll have to see. But in the meantime, we thank you again for joining us, and if you haven't already, check out SeekersOfTheLostWorlds.tv, and until next time...
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo, because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe, a mighty robot. Loved by good, feared by evil. As Voltron's legend grew, peace settled across the galaxy. On planet Earth, a galaxy alliance was formed. Together with the good planets of the solar system, they maintained peace throughout the universe. Until a new horrible menace threatened the galaxy. Voltron was needed once more. This is the story of the super force of space explorers. Specially trained and sent by the Alliance to bring back Voltron, defender of the universe.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.